We've been in Isaiah. It's been a great book, and there's many more great passages to come. And here in verse 18, we start this evening, Isaiah 48, beginning in verse 18. The Bible says, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth, say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts, he caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." So that's the title, "There is no peace unto the wicked." Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom, for your presence. As we look into your word, use it in our lives tonight to teach us and grow us. We are thankful for it, and we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So God mentioned to them up in verse 18, he said, "If you had hearkened," talking to his children, the nation of Israel, "if thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river." I believe that's in one of our hymns, "Peace Like a River." This is where that comes from. God promises peace to his children, but if you notice, that peace is conditional upon our obedience. And that is true for believers. Now, for the unbelievers, peace is not possible, because they don't have the Lord. They not only, well, we'll talk about it here in a moment, but they not only do not have peace with God, but they can't acquire the peace of God either, because of their wickedness. Now, he repeats this in Isaiah 51. So turn over there quickly, Isaiah 51, 21. So it's twice this is in Isaiah. "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." So twice Isaiah is told to say of God that there is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace unto the wicked. So what is the point of this? Well, the point is that peace is available. The peace of God and peace with God, but it all comes from God. And for a believer who already has the peace with God, the peace of God is conditional upon obedience, which is trusting the Lord and so forth. But we have peace if we're born again with God. Praise God for that. The Bible tells us that if you go over to the book of Romans in chapter 5, that we have peace with God when we are born again. Romans chapter 5. And we talked about that this morning, that we have peace, as we saw in Colossians 1:20, through the blood of his cross. God reconciled us to himself through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and made peace available. Notice Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That is peace with God. That is not the peace of God. We'll talk about that in a few moments. Peace with God comes with salvation. The unsaved don't have this and never can until they get saved. They're at enmity with God and will be until they trust Christ. There is no peace to the wicked. So this applies in both ways. It applies to the unsaved. They cannot find peace. But it also applies to a Christian who is not living in obedience. They don't have peace either. And we'll understand that here in a few moments. So look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where the Bible makes it very clear that peace comes from the author of peace, which is God himself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Beautiful verse about the peace of God. Notice it says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means." So God is referring to himself as the Lord of peace. Now, the world's looking for peace, aren't they? They're looking for, really, in three different areas they're looking for peace. They're looking for world peace. We hear that all the time. They're not going to find that through the UN. Matter of fact, nobody's going to find it until the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, returns to the earth and sets up his peaceful kingdom. The Bible makes it very clear that it's just going to get worse and worse, and then when the tribulation comes, there'll be many more wars and rumors of wars, and it'll be horrible. So the world's looking for that. They're not going to find it. None of us are going to find it. It takes Jesus to make that a reality. Then the world's also looking for, some of them, for peace with God, and they're trying to find that through religion. Going to church, doing sacraments and penance and other things, and trying to earn peace through good works. And they just can't find it. There's so many people around the world trying to find that peace with God through their own merit. And it just isn't going to come, because their merit is worth nothing. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, we're told in Isaiah 64:6. So they can't find the peace with God. And then, of course, the peace of God, which is that settled peace in our hearts in the midst of a wicked world and in the midst of tribulation, is only available to Christians. But again, it's conditional upon where our standing is with God. Are we walking in obedience? All of this comes from God, because God, as we just read here, is the Lord of peace. Now, if you go to John 14, Jesus himself also promised peace. And the peace that Jesus promised was not, this is not talking about peace with God. This is talking about the peace of God. Because he explains that it's going to be in the midst of trouble. Notice John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So he's trying to encourage the disciples. Remember, John chapter 13 through John chapter 17 is the time that Jesus spent with his disciples there in the upper room. Those precious chapters where we read so many great promises. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, things are going to get worse. And they did. But I'm going to give you peace. Now look in chapter 16 of John, where he's still talking to his disciples in the upper room. And he says it again, but he also reminds them they're going to have tribulation. John 16, verse 33. Notice he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Look at the rest of the verse. "In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Now today we have so many people out there preaching prosperity theology. Preaching, if you just come to Jesus, everything will be wonderful. You won't have any more trials, you're going to be wealthy, you'll be healthy, no more sickness, no more problems. It seems like the only people that are wealthy in those situations are the people saying it. That's all the people give them their money. But Jesus never promised any of that. Matter of fact, he says here, in the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to have problems. You're going to have trials. But through Jesus, in the midst of these trials and tribulations, we can have peace. The peace of God. And that is the peace that is not available to the wicked. Now this peace, as we all understand, comes from trusting the Lord. Let's go to Philippians 4 and understand this. Most of us know this passage by heart. If we don't, we probably should. Verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing." Now that word "careful" there, it's an old usage of the word. It primarily means anxious. But it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." What a great promise. Don't be careful for anything, but give it all to God in prayer. And look what he says, verse 7. "And the peace of God," there it is again, "which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I personally believe this is one of the most effective ways that the world can see the reality of Christianity in Christians. I'm talking about people that we, like our family and people we work with. When tribulations come into our lives, how do we handle them? Do we handle them like the world and throw up our hands and in despair and complain? Or do we just trust God? with peace and have this peace of God, because the world doesn't have this. But believers can have this by trusting the Lord. But again, there is no peace unto the wicked. So now while we're in the New Testament, go over to Colossians, just one book over, chapter 3, where God actually commands us to let this peace, and again, here now we're talking about the peace of God, as opposed to peace with God. He says, and let the peace of God, Colossians 3:15, rule in your hearts. God wants this peace to be real, to the point that it actually rules in our hearts. And yet, how many times do we get angry? Do we get frustrated? Do we throw up our hands? Whenever those things happen, that's not peace. The peace of God isn't ruling in our hearts. There's something wrong with our heart when that happens. And it's that we're not as close to God as we should be. We're not giving everything to God like we are commanded to. And the result is an absence of the peace of God, which is always available to God's people. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. There it is. Peace. Now let's look at an Old Testament verse, Isaiah 26, which we looked at, I don't know, maybe a year ago. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Again, a great promise. And it says the same thing that Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, that it comes from trusting the Lord. Isaiah 26, 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Those two words, stayed and trusteth. There's the key. What's stayed mean? It means that's what you're thinking about. That's what you're meditating on, is God. And of course, we know what trust means. So if we don't have peace in our hearts, if we do get frustrated and angry and in despair when the problems come, it's because we're not trusting the Lord. And it's because our mind isn't stayed on the Lord. It falls on us. It's not that the peace isn't available. God is the author of peace, as we read. It's that we're living as a wicked person. Because there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. So peace is always available through God's children. This peace of God that we're talking about. And it's also, go to Psalm 119 and 165. Many of you, I know this one by heart. If you don't, you probably should. This would be in the top 20. Psalm 119, 165. What does it say? Great peace have they which what? Love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So it's no surprise that God makes it clear that this peace is available, but it's only available as we have our mind stayed on Him, as we trust Him, i.e. turn everything over to Him, like we read in Philippians 4, and as we love His Word. Not complicated. We make it complicated, but it isn't. But there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. If there's no peace in our hearts, it's not God's fault. It means that we're not where we should be in trusting God, in loving God's Word, and in giving God all of our requests and having our mind stayed on Him. It falls on us. Because again, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. It is, and He lives in us. Now, one more verse in the New Testament, Romans 8, 6. And again, this peace is available to God's children. But notice, it comes down to us. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded. Now that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? What's it mean to be spiritually minded? Well, that ties back with Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed on thee. So if there's not peace in our lives when the trials come, it's because we're not spiritually minded. It means we're carnally minded. We're thinking about the wrong things. And we're thinking in a wrong way. So this peace is there. It's in the person of the Lord who indwells us. But there is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. So if we are not dwelling on the Lord, if we're not giving Him our requests, if we're not loving His Word, if we're not spiritually minded, there won't be peace. But again, that's up to us. Now the world, they can't find it. Now they're looking for it, aren't they? They're trying to find it in everything else. In whatever, entertainment and money and drugs and whatever. They're trying to find it, they're not going to find it. Because God's the author of true peace. He's the author of peace with Himself through salvation in Jesus Christ. And that peace can only be found as we trust Jesus Christ and our sins are forgiven and covered by the blood of Jesus. Then the enmities remove, and as we learned this morning, then we are reconciled to God. We have peace. We now have access to Almighty God. And anybody can find that through Jesus Christ, peace with God. That's a one-time event called getting saved. Once we have that peace, praise God, the devil can't take it away. But this peace we're talking about here, it comes and goes. This is dependent upon us. Where are we with God? Are we loving His Word? Are we giving Him all of our requests? Right? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Are we giving it all to Him? Are we loving His Word? Is our mind stayed on Him? Are we spiritually minded? If we are, when the trials come, and by the way, they will. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. When they do, we're ready. God overflows our hearts with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And we can get through that trial. It's still going to hurt, but we can get through it with peace. Because God gives us that peace. The Holy Spirit indwells us, and He is the author of that peace. It's always available. So when we find ourselves in a place where we don't have the peace of God ruling in our hearts, we need to stop and reflect, why would that be? Where is it in my life that needs changed such that the peace of God does rule in my heart? Because it's not, again, it's not God's fault. God loves us and God has promised us this verse 18 of our passage, peace as a river. I love that. Peace is a river. A river just keeps flowing. And the peace of God is never ending. It just keeps flowing as long as we tap into it, right? And we can only tap into it through His Spirit, because He is the author. So there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. We need to be telling the world there's peace available with God. World peace? Sorry, can't have that yet. You can talk about it all you want. You can make as many posters as you want. You're not going to get it. Not until the Prince of Peace comes, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can have peace with God by trusting Jesus Christ and having your sins forgiven and covered by the blood. And then you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. If you'll just love His Word and be spiritually minded and keep your mind stayed on Him, it'll become a reality. So thank the Lord that He is so good to us. That we as God's children can go through life with peace. Peace in our hearts. No matter what comes our way. Let's pray.